Well, just looking at what's been happening over the course of this past week, obviously it's been pretty eventful in many ways. We've had a lot of volatility running through asset markets, and I suspect it's partly those markets getting used to the way in which interest rates are going to rise through the course of this year. And looking at that, we had obviously the Fed going back the week before last, and the indications that they will be raising rates, but not soon, but obviously starting to really wind out the unconventional monetary policy easing that they had, so sort of bond buying was disappearing very, very fast. Also through the course of this week, we had the Bank of England, for example, hiking rates for a second time. They're getting, you can't call it aggressive because their base rate's still below 1%. Their inflation rate's closing in on 6%. So that's still a very, very weak response in terms of the inflation response or the inflation rate that's happening. And the data out of the United States over the course of the past week still points to an economy which has got quite a bit of inflation pressure building in it. And amongst those, the economy itself is holding up pretty well. We had things like the ISM manufacturing PMI came out for the most recent month. It was still holding up in the high 50s, 57.6, 58.8. So that's not too bad. The ISM non-manufacturing PMI was 62.3, was expected to come down to about 59.3, was 59.9, so still pretty close to that 60 mark. So the economy itself is still moving along pretty well. And then, of course, we had the non-farm payrolls right at the end of the week. And we've had quite a revision running through the non-farm payrolls numbers themselves. So if you went back a month, we thought we had 199,000 increase in non-farm payrolls. That was revised up to 510,000. And the most recent month, which the market thought would be 155,000, has been revised up to 467,000. There's also pressure building through wages, and you can see it in the average hourly earnings report that came out as part of that compendium of labour force data. And so the January average hourly earnings were expected to rise month on month by 0.5%. They rose 0.7%. So the result of that was that the annual change in average hourly earnings has lifted from 5% year on year to 5.7% year on year. And of course, there's a warning in this. If you're starting to run, we thought we were jogging along between 0.5s and 0.6s every month for average hourly earnings. If you start jogging along around the 0.7 mark and you annualise that, you're heading towards 8 at some point for wages growth in the United States. So clearly that's supporting way higher inflation than is even built into most people's expectations at the moment. The unemployment rate, at least there's one saving grace in the labour force data that came out of the US on Friday. The participation rate's been doing something very different to what's been happening here in Australia. Here in Australia, as the labour market's tightened up, a lot more people have come back into the labour market, and the participation rate has gone back to where it was pre-COVID. That hasn't happened in the US. For some reason, the participation rate was high before COVID and is several percentage points below where it was before COVID, and a lot of people haven't come back into the labour force. Well, there's some evidence they started to come back this most recent month. So as a result of that, even with non-farm payrolls lifting by 467,000, the unemployment rate, rather than staying the same, around 3.9%, actually lifted a notch to 4%. So they're eking out of the participation rate just a little bit more labour supply, but I don't think that's going to help an awful lot. Now, moving into this week, there's one figure. We haven't got a lot of data coming out this week, but the one figure which stands out there and is going to be the key one is on Thursday night, and that's the January Consumer Price Index out in the United States. And at this stage, the market's expecting that the month-on-month will be 0.5%. That's both for the headline CPI and also for the core CPI. If that's the case, the headline CPI goes up again to 7.3% from 7.0%. And the core CPI goes up to 5.9% from 5.5%. So, you know, these are the, you know, the very, very high inflation readings which are running at the moment. You know, part of it is driven by supply chain problems. You know, another part of it is the same sort of issue we're seeing all the way around the world. There's been a change in consumer patterns by households. During COVID and restrictions and quasi-restrictions, you know, they haven't been able to spend as much on services, you know, particularly in sort of travel and these sorts of bits and pieces. And there's been large compensation moving into buying physical goods, you know, white goods, new cars, whatever. And so that extra pressure running through goods at a time when the supply chains have been generally bunged up for most of those areas of production, you know, is adding to that inflation pressure. So there's a lot of things that people are watching, you know, so how consumer spending shifts, you know, whether we go back to something like normal at some point, which may take some pressure out, whether the supply chains fix up. But the very best we can hope for is that these very high inflation rates, arithmetically, as our RBA government likes to say, you know, will come off these peaks. But how far off those peaks? Probably not that far when we get into the second half of the year. This will determine just where official interest rates will have to settle at some point in 2, 3, or 4 years' time. And at the moment, they're obviously not going to go all the way up to 7s and 8%. But you know, if we get some settling back in those annual inflation rates, if it settles back to around 3%, then perhaps the Fed funds rate tops out around the 3% mark when you're looking 2 or 3 years out. But if it settles back to 4 or 4.5%, then you know, we'll have to get the Fed fund rate up to 4 to 4.5%. This is going to be a conundrum for bond markets too, as bond yields mark their way higher. You know, that they will at some point reflect a realistic view of where the official interest rates are going to settle. And that's probably going to be where those longer-term bond yields are going to peak out. So just watching all this very, very carefully. Out of China last week, you know, obviously it's we had nothing actually in the way of data. Most of the data came out the week before. It's been holidays in China. We've had the Olympic Games running through there. So it's been, yeah, there hasn't been an awful lot that's working through there. We are watching something on the, the geopolitical side. One of the few leaders who made their way to China for the Olympic Games was Vladimir Putin. Obviously, Putin and President Xi had some very friendly meetings with each other. And this is really setting up, you know, what may happen out of Eastern Europe and potentially in the South China Sea too. So once we get past the Olympic Games, we have to face, you know, what are these two nutters planning? Will we get that invasion of the Ukraine? If we do, that's going to add to supply chain problems, particularly in energy. Will they do something coordinated to really mess up the West? In other words, at the same time that Russia moves into the Ukraine, China surprises by trying to take out Taiwan. These are all possibilities. And so the next round of uncertainties that may hit us from stage left are sort of bubbling in the wings. And it really doesn't help when Putin and Xi having very friendly drinking parties between them and they're great mates. And the one thing they have in common is they want to stuff up the West completely. So that's something that bears watching. This week in China, we have today the January cakes and non-manufacturing PMI. It was at 53.1, should hold around that level. Coming to Australia, we had some data and, of course, a lot of RBA stuff last week. And the data, we had the Omicron effect running through December retail sales. After 2 huge months where retail sales blistered ahead running through October and November, there was a pullback of 4.4% month of December. And that may be about the worst of it on a month-on-month basis. Today, for example, we'll get the quarterly retail sales for December quarter. On the 3 months we've had, real retail sales could be up as much as 8% quarter on quarter. They were down 4% quarter on quarter the quarter before, so that's one huge swing, and there's a huge contribution to Q4 GDP here when it comes out in early March. We had December private credit blistering along through housing. It was up 0.8% month on month. Private sector credit, this is the aggregate of credit, is rising now between up 0.8% and 0.9% a month, driven by housing largely. We also had home loan commitments for the most recent month. These are showing no signs of buckling yet from either the odd rises we've had running through fixed rates, the APRA moves. In fact, it's got stronger over this last couple of months, rose 5.3% after a 7.6% rise the month before. So it's still got quite a bit of strength running through there. And home building approvals have been a true surprise too. They lifted back in November. That was a surprise because people thought they'd still be falling, up 2.6%. We thought they may stand a chance of rising another 0.5% perhaps for December. They rose 8.2%. So home building industry is starting to fly again. And of course, that's putting a hell of a lot of pressure into very scarce building supplies. So another one of those pressure points for inflation here. Then we had the RBA rate decision, speech by the RBA governor, and also the monetary policy statement. And the RBA is sort of changing. It's still holding its core view to hoping that we've got less inflation pressure here than overseas. We've still got slow wages growth. We can hold out a while longer yet before we need to raise interest rates. But there's now a concession that they could be raising rates later this year. That wasn't there before. There's a lot of hedging too about what they don't know about how inflation and wages are rising at the moment. So they're giving themselves some let-out clauses running through all this. And of course, they promptly decided to end bond buying. So unconventional monetary policy easing has now gone. There's a recognition that the economy is running faster than expected. They're pretty optimistic about how the economy will rebound after as the Omicron wave starts to fade. So those pressure points are still there for inflation. They recognise that inflation was higher than expected, but they're still talking about it being mostly one-offish. But what gives the lie to that is the forecasts they brought out on Friday in the monetary policy statement. And if you went back to November and you were looking at their inflation forecasts, after the blip upwards in inflation through the late part of 2021, early 2022, they saw inflation settling back to under the middle of the 2-3% target range. So for the trim mean consumer price index, they had it coming back to through most of the way through late 2022, early 2023 to 2.25%, before lifting late in 2023 to 2.5%. So that was consistent with not putting too much pressure on their cash rate forecast. But the latest set, they've been forced to basically. They've added 0.5 percentage point to all of those forecasts. So the trim mean inflation rate all the way through the forecast period. In fact, in June this year, they expect a further blip. They expect the trim mean, which was 2.6% in the first quarter of this, in the fourth quarter of last year, by June, that's two CPIs away. They expect the trim mean to lift to 3.25. They expect the consumer price index to lift to 3.75, and then settle down. But as far as the CPI is concerned, It doesn't get down to the 2.5% mark. It now sort of settles on their future forecast at 2.75%, and the trim mean too. They got that settling at 2.75%. That's half a percentage point higher than the forecast they bought out going back to November. And throughout the forecast period now is above the middle point of the 2-3% band. They've talked all the time about getting inflation consistently inside the band before they start to think about interest rates. Well, if that ain't consistent, I don't know what is running through their forecasts. And they've also added to that with a lower unemployment rate forecast, putting more pressure back into the wages, which they've admitted to, and they now have wages rising to 3% by June next year and 3.25% by June 2024. Previously, these were high twos to just on three. So, through their forecasts, they're saying a bit more than the Reserve Bank governors said in public over the course of the past year. And that is that, if these forecasts come to pass, there's a real risk that they might fly on the high side of these forecasts again. Obviously they will be raising rates by the later part of this year. Also, the other point that the Reserve Bank governor has been making is that when they do start to raise rates, and he's saying that they will be raising rates at some point, they will be heading to at least 2.5% for the peak. So there's a clear warning that it's quite a bit of monetary policy tightening when that does start to come through. So quite interesting in terms of those forecasts running through the RBA at the moment, that no chance of a rate increase before 2024. That was then moderated to perhaps 2023. This latest one is pretty strong likelihood it's now going to be sometime later in 2022. So there is quite a bit of movement in the way in which the Reserve Bank is thinking. This week, as I mentioned, we've got those Q4 retail sales coming out today. Market consensus on that is 8.1% quarter-on-quarter compared with minus 4.4%. We've got January NAB business confidence, business conditions. They're going to be still pretty soft. Business confidence was minus 12 going back to December. Won't be any better than that, I don't think, for January. Business conditions were plus 8. That could hold because at least some businesses are actually doing quite well. And we had Westpac consumer sentiment coming out on Wednesday. That's probably down again. But we're getting towards the end of this current Omicron wave. Doesn't mean we'll have no cases. It means that we have a lot lower cases and things will be starting to normalise as we go a little bit further down the track. Europe last week, we had their Q4 GDP. It was 0.3% quarter-on-quarter, 4.6% year-on-year. That 0.3 compared with 2.2% quarter-on-quarter the quarter before. So a bit of an Omicron dip, but they're through that, so you'd expect to see Europe starting to improve from here. We also had the December unemployment rate. Came down to 7% from 7.2%, so that's still coming back, putting pressure into the labour market. We had both the preliminary CPI and the December producer price index. Inflation is just going ballistic in Europe. The market forecasts are just way under in terms of where inflation's gone. So we had the December preliminary CPI. The market thought that it would be 4.4% year-on-year, back a bit from 5%. It actually lifted further to 5.1%. And as far as producer prices are concerned, they were lifting at 23.7% year-on-year, going back to November. They were worse than market expectations and lifted to 26.2% year-on-year, month of December. So inflation is just taking off. At some point, the ECB has to respond to that. Of course, across the English Channel, Bank of England is starting to respond. They've got some big inflation problem, and at their meeting, they hiked rates for the second time. by 25 basis points. They're still below 1%, but they're giving pretty strong indications that they could easily have done more than that, and they're keeping things under review. But you've got a lot of interest rate change, obviously, coming from Britain at this point. We've got the ECB meeting this week. How the hell they can keep their deposit rate at minus 0.5%, I've got no idea. And, of course, over this past week, just about every country which had minus sign on their bond yields, their government bond yields, those minus signs have just about all turned to positives now. So bond yields are marching up pretty fast now in Europe. And it's only a matter of time before we get a surprise. It shouldn't be a surprise where the ECB has to raise rates. And so it could potentially be the meeting at the end of this week.